Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 106, A Matter of Perspective.
Jan Kilbride's account of his time spent aboard the space station Daedalus. Statement date, February 10th, 2008. Melanie King recording. Start. The hardest thing to imagine, to really get your head around, is the scale at which the universe operates. You can drill down so small that you reach particles and building blocks that your brain simply can't connect to the physical reality that you inhabit. The fact that the vast majority of your own body is empty vacuum, space filled only with the weak forces that are binding your disparate atoms to one another, that can only really be understood at an intellectual level. To really internalize that thought, to believe it, would be too much for most people. And at the other end, the sheer size at which the universe operates literally cannot be fully conceptualized by the human mind. We have to reduce it to factors, or long strings of comparative zeros. Most people can't even properly appreciate the size of our own planet, seeing it only in crudely rendered diagrams or maps. But compared to us, the planet is immense. More than large enough for the swell of humanity to grow and ultimately extinguish itself. Yet compared to the wider universe, it isn't even a noticeable speck. The human mind would reflexively want to place us at the midway point, a perfect centre, balanced between the incredible size of the universe and the unthinkable smallness of the subatomic. But this is nothing but ego, a manifestation of our obsession with considering ourselves some sort of normative benchmark against which all else is measured. In truth, we are so much closer to the tiny, mindless atoms that make up our bodies than we are to a universe so enormous that fully imagining it is simply impossible. Even with all I've seen, I still can't communicate it. I can't make people actually understand how horridly, nauseatingly boundless this universe is, and when I think of it too deeply, I feel like I'm going to throw up, like a sort of existential vertigo. It never used to scare me like this. I used to take a sort of comfort in it, in the thought that we were so small, such a minor blip in the life of the universe. Where others saw insignificance and pointlessness, I found freedom. A sort of optimistic nihilism, I suppose. I know now it was all just denial, of course. It's not easy to be scared of something that you can't even think about. I miss those days, smoking out the window of a tower block, looking out over the lights of the city blinking up in defiance of the void, and thinking how daft it was. Like an ant shaking its fist at a god. I think that's really why I wanted to go to space. To put it all in perspective. That for one moment, I could look down and see it all. Every human that ever existed, the living and the dead, hanging below me on a tiny ball of carbon. And you know what? It was worth it. At least I thought so at the time. That moment, that first look at the Earth falling away below us, it was everything I dreamed it would be. And how often is that true? The Daedalus was in low enough orbit that I never got the whole planet view as I had hoped, but it didn't matter. The first time looking down and taking in the sheer scale of it remained the most magnificent sensation I have ever experienced. I don't know how they picked me for the mission. A representative of some private consortium approached me about a year beforehand. I'd put in my application a few times, but I never really expected anything. I had all the skills, but I knew I wasn't anyone's first choice of astronaut. I simply wasn't exceptional enough. Or so I thought. Mr. Fairchild didn't mention exactly why I was chosen, though he did reference my psychiatric profile a few times in the interview. I didn't want to press him too hard on the reasoning in case I somehow lost the opportunity. Idiot. There were technically three of us up there, although I only really spent any time with Manuela. The other one who came up with us, Chilcott, I think his name was, he was apparently doing some sort of separate isolation study. Can't say I envied him. The door to his section of the station was daunting, to say the least. I mean, I'm an engineer, and honestly, it looked like it was sturdier than the actual hull. Manuela and I were instructed not to attempt any communication with him, and to be honest, that was fine by me. On those occasions we had to call into his little chamber through the intercom, usually as part of maintenance or a systems check, he always sounded so distant. This flat, tinny monotone that set my teeth on edge like a subtle vibration. So we left him to it. We had plenty of our own work to do anyway. Manuela Dominguez was quite a big name in certain areas of the physics community. Or at least she had been. I hadn't heard of any work she'd done for a good few years, and as I say, I'm more on the engineering side of things, so it wasn't really something I kept up with in detail. While she was happy to talk, Manuela apparently didn't like to discuss her professional life on Earth, or the specifics of the research she was doing on the Daedalus. Like Chilcott, her research was kept entirely separate from mine, and while we spent plenty of time together, I never did figure out exactly what it was. Something to do with lasers, I think. As for my job, to be honest, it felt disappointingly like busy work. Stress testing, zero gravity effects, material evaluations. For every test I was told to do, I could have listed a half dozen studies citing similar research from the ISS, most of which had pretty conclusive results. If you had told me I was just being instructed to do the same things they did over there, but 2 years later, I'd have been hard-pressed to argue. But there was something else. A different sort of worry that was building up inside me. It was like a gradual increase of air pressure. You never notice.